Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Abba Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.
You are watching the Deadfoot Diver Podcast with Kurt the Deadfoot Diver.
Welcome to the Deadfoot Diver Podcast, where we talk about everything diving, technical diving, and the benefits of diving with disabilities. I am super excited today, and yes, I have a NASCAR hat on for a reason. I decided to pull out my old NASCAR official hat because I am so excited to have NASCAR Cup driver Brendan Gaughan on. How's it going? Well,
retired and former. Let's not go too far here. I'm happily retired, but I appreciate it. I'm honored to be on Deadfoot Divers. And like I was telling you off air, nobody really cares to hear much from me anymore. But when it comes to diving, that's one of the subjects I love to still talk about. So thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. I'm very glad that you came on. I was actually shocked to hear that you were a dive master.
Yeah, I got my dive master, probably a little over 10 years ago now, with Lake Norman Scuba out in North Carolina, where they ended up being some of my best friends. They still are some of my best friends. And basically when I was a race car driver, you know, I go to the shop, I kind of slow production at the shop. You go to the shop to work out, you do all the stuff, but there's a lot of time. And so I love hanging at the dive shop. Diving changed my entire life when I started diving in 2007. And so I got lucky to find Lake Norman Scuba in North Carolina, walked in, and Andrew and Danielle, the owners, have become two of my best friends. And so I was like, well, hell, I love it. I'll do it every day. I got lots of free time. So I was the dive master when they had kids camps or you had to do all these things. I was the guy that was like, I'll do it and I'm free help. So I'm good help.
And even better, you're a former NASCAR guy that the guys are like, oh my God, our dive master for today.
I was current.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, so it was fun because I do these classes and a lot of the mechanics kids would be in the classes and they go, you know, their dads would, moms would show up to pick them up and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is what I do for fun. You know, it was a fun time of my life and I do miss it. I had hand in helping certify probably over 1,000 plus kids with Lake Norman Scuba. It was one of my favorite things. It was one of my favorite things in life to do. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed just doing the kids camps and being there certifying those kids and being part of that group. Andrew Katsamas, who is the owner, is one of my best friends. In my opinion, of course, I have one just like everybody else. He's one of the best instructors you can ever ask for. And so it was a lot of fun. He taught me. I have a personality that really lends myself to some of that stuff. And he loved it. I mean, the thing for me was, Curtis, my best deal was if you had someone that was slowing down a class or had a problem that was struggling with something. And look, and I both know taking your mask off is the biggest struggle for, you know, 80% of the problems that show up, it's going to be that mask. And I used to take the ones that were scared, that were worried, that didn't think they'd keep going. Andrew'd look at me and give me the nod. I'd go back to the 5-foot deep pool, the 4-foot deep pool. I put the kids, and you'd come back into the other room and we'd be ahead of the class. You know, I love taking the ones that struggled a little bit and get to watch even a grown person, you know, not just a kid, to watch someone overcome that irrational fear of what diving is and then turn it into the rational, really what happens when you dive, it's really fun to watch. It's as much fun to me as driving into Term 1 at Bristol.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, diving's amazing. It is, for me, I used to be a professional diver and instructor and stuff. I even worked for Mel Fisher for a bit back in the 90s doing treasure diving.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, I've actually reconnected with Kane over the last year. So he's going to be coming on and doing an interview with me. I got back into it 2 years ago after I became disabled, actually motocross racing. So.
You guys and in the bikes. Bikes. do you see? Hey, do you see? I want you to look at your beard real quick. I want you to see this. Right. I got it right here. You see that color? You see when stuff gets that color, that's when it's time to stop being on a motorcycle. That color right there. That even before it goes that.
Yeah, I know. I got into racing. I got into racing motocross actually, and got into like crewing stock car racing, and then being an official stock car racing, and then getting into racing motocross. And I did that basically to fill the void of my loss from diving.
Okay. Well, but you can still dive. You can make it. We can get it.
Now I can. Yeah. I started diving again last year, actually. And it has definitely changed my life for the better. It has been unbelievable, the change in me. And I mean, right the minute from when I took my first breath underwater again. And it was all because I was actually on a dive charter in a Cozumel doing snorkeling. And there was a lady that came on the boat with me, and they sat her right beside her, me, and we actually became friends for the week. And she was so bad, she was in a walker, she couldn't even barely walk. Whole time I was watching her, and I'm like, oh, there's no reason I can't do that again.
Well, and see that, but that, and you understand this as a diver, is one, the amazing dive community, right? I mean, how well, you know, when you go on these dive boats, when you're a week on a dive boat with people, you can go alone and make friends on a dive boat. That was something to me. I mean, I can make friends, you know, with a stranger, you know, outside my window, but it's just, I love that community. But then when you do learn that, you know what, just because you've had something, whether it's, you know, I've been in the water with people that were paraplegics waist down. You know, I've been in the water where they have the special gloves that are their fins. You know, yep. I've been in the water with all sorts, and it's amazing. And you remember that first time you took a breath underwater and went, before you were injured, you went, oh my God, I'm that guy. I was skydiving. I was doing all these other things. And I was racing. I mean, I'm that guy. And the first time I took a breath underwater in 2007, I went, oh my God. When I say it changed my life, I'm not exaggerating. It changed everything I wanted to do with any time outside of my family or my work. And I made diving my life for a little bit, even where it's that big a deal to me. I've taken all my nieces and nephews when they turned 12 with me to Roatan or other places in the world, to Socorro. Wow. I took 12-year-olds to Socorro. You know, I mean, I took my kids when they were 10, they all got certified at Lake Norman Scuba. I've certified their friends. You know, I to me, that whole first breath thing, and it had to be pretty awesome. You just said it there. Your first breath after you came back, it gave you all those emotions again, and you're like,
"Oh yeah,
do this."
It was instant. I mean, it was as soon as I got underwater, took my first breath again, I was like, "Oh my God!" And the guy's like, before he went under, he's like, "Okay, we're gonna do like mass clears and all that, and then do a tour around the pool or whatever." Okay, fine. And he knew my diving background, but I told him, I said, look, I haven't dove in like 27 years, right? So it's been quite a while. And I mean, I got under, I took my first breath, and I mean, it was like, oh my God, I was free. And we just scoot around the pool, and he said, when's your flight leaving? And I said, unfortunately, tomorrow. And he says, I would have signed you out to go diving this afternoon if you wanted. I was so disappointed because I didn't actually get to do my first like open water dive again until like 6 months later, right? Because of the weather up here.
Terrible. I know that feeling. No. But I mean, isn't that amazing? And mobility scooters now underwater. You know, I tore my Achilles earlier this year in February. I'm that guy. I'm an idiot. I didn't even know. I kept digging. I didn't find out till April. And so I'm just kind of dumb that way. Well, we had a tech dive planned this year with Lake Norman Scuba and a bunch of our friends. It's my 50th birthday this year. And Andrew and Danielle, we had this big tech dive planned. And they were teaching a class and they needed a dive master to hit the standards, you know, and finding a dive master that's legal for tech diving also is a little more difficult. So he was like, can you tell me you can come and will you be there? I said, absolutely. Well, the tech dive was like April 25th. And I found out I tore my Achilles April 15th. And I tore it in February. So I've just been living with it. So I looked and I go, dang it. I go, it's going to be a little hard to kick because they wanted me to, you know, they had me in some braces that were immobile. And I go, Andrew and I both said, well, bring me one of the scooters. So I just had one of the scooters. I was dive master in a class with just a scooter. So I didn't have to kick with my left leg. It's amazing how technology has made it even more accessible to everybody.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. And I mean, especially you've worked with paraplegics and stuff like that, which is awesome. I'm actually I'm hoping to be able to afford to redo my instructors next year. And that's actually what I want to concentrate on, is working with people doing scuba therapy in the pool a lot. And then working with mainly with people with disabilities and stuff, because a lot of instructors do not want to or do not have the patience.
Well, you're scared. I mean, come on, let's be honest. You're nervous, even though scuba diving, we learn to control some of our fears and to control but it's always, you know, upset. I have a very good friend cerebral palsy. He's had it, you know, known him since he was 8 years old. He's 35 now, young little fans of mine from Wisconsin. And I love these two kids to death. And I would love to put him in a snuba helmet and let somebody take him down in a snuba helmet. Just like you said, just even in a pool, just the therapy of that in the pool. And it would be such an amazing feeling to be able to do something like that with those people. So it takes a certain instructor and a certain person that wants to do it. But man, I think it's such a great thing. And you talk to any psychologist, those sorts of things for people with those ailments, it can be an amazing, life-changing, freeing deal. And it's great that I love that you're going to try to do it and focus on that. I think that's super cool.
That is my main goal of what I want to do, especially after how much it's changed my life getting back into it again. And I mean, the worst part for me is getting all my crap on and getting in the water. I'm okay.
Everybody. Yeah. I don't care if everything's functioning. There's some people, they hate that. Me, I pitch it in the water and do it in the water. It's a whole lot easier.
I actually started diving side mount this summer. I got side mount certified in June, and that has dramatically changed my life. It's awesome. I absolutely love it. When I walk on a boat with a single tank, I have to have one or two guys holding onto me to keep me stable to walk to the back of the boat. Side mount, I just get up with both tanks on, hold onto the captain's arm, and I can walk back. I'm like good to go.
And that's a great adapt to the issues you have. It adaptability is what you do. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, I tech diving, all the guys at Lake Norman Scuba have started switching to side mount, and I'm not there as often, so I still have it. So my doubles are steel 130s is what I've doubled up.
Steel 130s.
I'm a big boy. I have big lungs, and if I'm going 400 feet, I need a lot of gas, okay? I have to have some gas to keep me down there. So I double up steel 130s. And I feel like I'm, King Kong trying to walk across a deck, you know, and I've dove those with broken ribs. I dove those with, I'm an idiot. You know, I've done all these things that I keep digging for. But I really want to switch to the side mount. I've watched the guys that Andrew and I have talked about, you know, me switching to it, but I just haven't had the time to go back and retrain. But man, I do love the look of the side mount. It looks so much more comfortable.
It is for me. It's definitely changed my life. It definitely, also my self-confidence, because of how clumsy I was getting in and out of the water.
Yeah.
Way easier. Shore diving still sucks for me.
But again, another thing. Shore diving sucks for anybody. I love you. Sure. I'll to get in the water, I'll do anything. But man, nobody likes to walk out, you know, through the surf. Ooh.
Well, not only that, up here in Georgian Bay, it's all rock. So I usually get about like 5 feet in the water. I end up down on my knees, falling, dragging my stuff out a bit farther. Right. Tomorrow I'm actually going on a dive charter, and I just picked up a set of steel 95s yesterday. So we'll see how I do with those. So.
Not a steel 130, but you know, we'll work your way to it.
I can't imagine diving with the steel 130. Like how much weight total is that? Are those?
If we're diving with the four stage bottles and my steel 130s, I think Andrew and I weighed it one day. I think it was like 160 pounds or 150 pounds total. Cause I've done steel 130s with 80s, slung 80s on me. And so, you know, not just 52s. I've slung 80s for that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's heavy. I mean, it definitely, we're heavy. We're not.
You do some serious tech diving, man. What kind of stuff have you done tech diving?
So, once again, Andrew Katsamas is the whole reason. I mean, when I started diving, Andrew and Danielle are really, really, they're intelligent shop owners. They're intelligent business owners. I walked in one day in 2008 and said, "Hi," and this is in Mooresville, North Carolina, Race City, USA. I walked in just head down, like, "Hey, you know, I'd like to. I got a dive trip with some friends, and I'm not certified. And you know, me and my wife would like to get certified. And well, you know, schedule class." I said, "Well, can I do private lessons?" And they're like, "No, we don't. You know, we." And we joke to this day that Danielle, his wife, she calls me a DTD because I walked in and she said, "Well, we have a trip planned for Florida this weekend, but you have to read this book." Folks, we used to do things with a book, you know, they're paper, they're made out of trees. You go left to right for those that do e-learning. And
yeah.
She goes, "But you'd have to read this book by Friday." And this was like Wednesday. And I'm like, "I can do it." And she was like, "This guy can't read." And I'm like, you know, I could see it. I just knew. And we still laugh about this to this day. But so we went down to Florida, and as soon as I got done, I am like, "This is just amazing to me." And I looked up, and Andrew's high-fived me. "Congratulations, you're the newest certified paddy diver, blah, blah, blah." I go, "This is so awesome." He goes, "I know, isn't it? Go grab that tank. You're starting your advanced." And I go, "Okay." And I ran over and grabbed the tank, and my wife looks at me and goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "I don't know. I'm starting something called advanced. I'm getting back in the water." And so I didn't even ask. I just said, "Okay." And I go in. And so from there, his wife and my family, we all laugh and say that we were separated at birth because we are identical personalities, but they saw something that, you know, this meshed. And so as he started doing more and more tech, I was like, "Hey, I wanted to know, do I have the right personality for it? Because I could be maybe a little too cavalier, you know, tech diving, you really have to, you know, understand yourself, understand your surroundings, understand what you mentally are capable of. And you don't want to be the guy that is gung-ho, afraid of nothing, and dive. And you have to have intelligent thought with it, intelligent, you know, discussions with yourself." And so went down, did the Oriskany, went to go to the screws one day. And right before I went over the edge with him from the deck, I grabbed that rail, and all of a sudden my computer, my sac rate spiked, my heart rate was up. And Andrew looked at me, he goes, "Okay." And I go, he goes, "Huh?" I go, "Huh?" He goes, "Huh?" I go, "Huh?" And he started laughing, you know, and we started looking around, and I remember seeing some fireworms falling off the side. And all of a sudden I went, "Okay, let's go." And from there, I've never looked back. I mean, our deepest right now is 390. I've been just
390.
And
wow.
So I love doing it. Done hot drops in the middle of the Caribbean, done hot drops. I've been all over the place. Hot drops are to me one of the biggest fears. I love that Nautilus deal we carry, because When you do a hot drop in the middle of the Atlantic in out in North Carolina looking for a boat that's at 320 and there's no line, there's no nothing, there's a lot of fear when you're jumping in that water.
320 feet with no line.
No, just a hot drop.
Oh.
And so I mean it's I've learned those are things that I find everybody thinks it's adrenaline, but you'd be able to answer this and maybe other divers, but it's not adrenaline so much as it is the control of that, to keep yourself calm, to keep yourself focused and understood. And in that moment where you can't let all that get to you, you've got to learn how to just do it. You train, you do what you do, you have the right mindset, you go down, you accomplish your mission, whether it was to see that boat, whether it was to find something, whether it was to just explore a new area and then follow all your, it to me is so cerebral, so much fun. And it's, and to me and my mother hates me for this. And so my father hates me worse, but to me it's peaceful. I find it peaceful. And even though it's probably anything, but you know, we don't often talk about tech diving in recreational circles because I don't want to scare my friends. You know, listen, 50, 60 feet, come up whenever you want. It's beautiful, pretty colors and pretty fish. And you come up, it's great. Yay, you're tired. You know, we don't want to talk about the other stuff. So I rarely talk about the tech diving because it's just such a world that you don't want to scare away the recreational diver. But I do love that tech diving, man. I miss it. I got to go on a tech dive this year with Andrew and the guys. And so it was fun that I got to get back in the water. But I miss it. Me and Andrew we're working on trying to get to a 450. So I got to start. Wow. Warming up and getting trained again.
So what are you gonna dive on? That's 450.
There's a U boat that we want to get to, and so.
Oh, U boat.
We're trying to train to it and get to where we can hit to it. So you know that's and once again you notice I keep saying the word train to it.
Yeah.
You don't just say, hey, let's go there tomorrow. You know, you got to train to these things. And you know, it's fun. I'll tell you, computers nowadays, how far they've come, how they track your sack rates, how they track, you know, all these things. It's amazing. I hadn't been in the water. I use Eon Steels is what I use. And then I had a new computer that we were testing out. It's amazing how much stuff they can track on your dives. You know, it's super, super, super cool. So I'm really excited to get back in the water and start using some of the new technology.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome the stuff that they do now. It even amazes me when I started diving again last year in Cozumel, or before that in Cozumel when I was down there. And I remember in the 90s, it was like voodoo gas. You don't dive nitrox, blah, blah, blah. Everybody get ticked off. My nitrox number is actually like 6126 or something. Like it's low. It's four numbers, right?
In fact, that's awesome.
I got taught by Dick Ratowski, actually. I was very lucky. I got taught by that's Dick at an Underwater Canada show. Yeah. He's 90. That's I think he's cool. 93 now. So, but they actually, there was five of us instructors that actually went and took this nitrox course from Dick when he came up and did it. And they actually gave us a lot of heat for being PADI instructors and taking a nitrox course.
Times have changed, haven't they? The second class we dang near teach before we go to advanced, we put you on nitrox.
And I mean, I went down to Cozumel and the first thing I noticed was looking at the dive boats and it's like, everybody's on nitrox. There were like two people out of three boats that were on air still. Everybody else was nitrox.
Well, it makes you feel better, period. I mean, you got a little more oxygen in it. And once again, once you train and learn the positive and negatives of nitrox, now that science has come since 93 when you did it. But you and I both know, you come up from a 2-tank dive or a 3-tank dive on a boat on air. By the time you get back to the dock, you're a little, I'm tired. You know, you breathe a nitrox dive. You're like, hey, let's go to dinner. You know, I mean, let's go to lunch. I feel pretty good still.
I did a Blackbeard's cruise in April and it was all on air and I did 19 dives in 6 days. And I was like, oh my God, I missed Nitrox.
I bet you got tired after that. And your bottom times, your bottom time kept shrinking.
It was like, oh my God, because that was actually the most diving I'd done in like 30 years almost, right? So
that's awesome. So you ready for a really bad one? Not bad one, good one.
Yeah.
I took a whole 14 friends out to Socorro. We had a boat at the time, and the boat had a Nitrox bladder system on it, so we could make Nitrox on the boat. So we got the permits, and we got all the way out to Socorro. If you haven't been to Socorro, it's the Galapagos of the North. It's stupid how awesome the place is. But Andrew and I, so I have all my buddies. We've taught them all to dive. Everybody on the boat's a diver, and you know we're going to be out on the island 4 or 5 days, and you know, if everybody dives 2-3 times a day, you know, you'll get 15 dives in, 10, 15 dives in. Okay. So Andrew and I do 60 plus dives while we're out there.
60 in how many days?
4 or 5.
And whoa. So
we're diving Nitrox, and we're not doing deep every dive. We're doing a lot, you know, trying to do a lot of 30, 40 footers, 45 footers just to keep to even have a chance to be able to keep diving. But anytime somebody wants to dive, we jump in. We're always diving. We come up, put a fill whip on our back, keep on diving, and just get back in. But the best part was one morning, our goal is to never desat while we're out on the island. Our goal is to never get out of no fly. So one morning, him and I are sitting at the bar on this boat, and we got our Zucaritas, and we're eating our Zucaritas at the bar, and we're talking about maybe what cove we're going to go into today, where we're going to try to dive, and we're sitting there. Andrew and I looked down at our computers, and we had like 8 minutes of no-fly left. And we looked at each other, and we dropped our cereal and our spoons on the counter. We thumped, bump, 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 ran out the door, grabbed our tanks, didn't even grab fins or nothing, didn't put them on, because we had a drop line going down the back, just a line with a weight on it. We literally grabbed them, jumped in the water, put a mask on, jumped in the water, put our rig in our mouth, went down to about 25, 30 feet, sat there for like 4 minutes until our computers registered that we had some build, and then climbed ourselves back up the rope. We were only over like 40 feet, so it wasn't like we were just sitting on this thing at 25 foot holding on to the line. We looked at each other and go, okay, came back up, walked back to the counter to eat our Zucaritas, and his wife comes up and goes, what was all that noise? Like, you know what? And we're soaking wet. And she goes, did you guys jump in the water? We're like, yeah, we were almost out of no fly. She's just like, you two are nuts. So yeah, we just continued eating our Zucaritas that were on the counter. So diving is so much fun. It's so enjoyable. You get lucky enough to go with friends in places. You take family in places. You know, I mean, I got a picture of my 12-year-old, 14-year-old, and 16-year-old at the time niece, all three nieces. There's a picture of them at the boiler in Socorro with about 35 white tips in their little cove bay sleeping. And we're about 50 feet, 45 feet. And we have my three young nieces, and they're over a 200-foot, you know, drop. And I got a picture. I sent it to their father and their mother, to their dads and moms. And my brothers are like, I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, they're good. They're good. Don't worry. And I love how you get such a bond with diving. I talk about this more passionately than I do NASCAR, than I do casino, I love diving. It is such an amazing thing.
So out of all the dives you've done, because you've done some pretty serious dives, what's your coolest dive you've done so far?
Oh, I wish I could tell you one.
A couple of them.
Me and Andrew were in Sea of Cortez and had an orca and her baby swim this close to us.
No, really?
We were filming a couple sea turtles. We righted up, and we were talking about how much time was left and, you know, which way we were going to finish and where the boat was going to pick us up. And all of a sudden, Andrew's my guru in the water. I mean, this guy he's my instructor. He's my best friend now, but he's the guru. I mean, you know, and I looked up and his eyes got as big as your glasses. And he went, And I'm like, oh, that can't be good. I'm like, if he's got his eyes like this and he's pointing behind my back, I'm like, oh, God. And I swear I thought I saw him reach for his knife for a second. And afterwards, he goes, listen, I don't have to be faster than the orca. I just got to be faster than you. Pow. You know, I was like, you know, kind of like the bear. And so I turned around and I'm telling you, this mama and baby, we got it on video. They came literally, if I reached my arm out, I would have touched her. And they went right around us and they were probably going for the turtle we were filming. And then they had two idiots in their way. And as you and I both know, orca are not dangerous at all to us in the wild. And yeah, she just went right on around us, her and her baby tucked right in, you know, going. And so that was first one of the just, and that was early on in my dive career. That was like my second big dive trip. So, you know, talk about setting the bar too high.
Yeah, no kidding.
But then after that, I mean, just, I'm a big animal guy. We all know there's different type. There's macro people, there's rec people, there's all sorts. I am a big animal. I love big animal. So the main animal I'm missing right now is a whale shark. My kids have been in the water with one. I have not.
No way, really? And your kids have.
So it bums me out great. And I don't count the Georgia Aquarium. I love you, Georgia Aquarium. I've done that dive. I love it. That to me doesn't count. But I've been with a giant Pacific hammerhead, the giant mantas. I've got a humpback. I've been in the water with a humpback. Of course the orca. So I'm a big animal guy. So I love seeing the big animal species. When you see a Goliath grouper in a wreck, you know, the Goliath that is what, 800 pounds, 500, you know, I mean, they're as wide as a Volkswagen, you know what I mean? And they're sitting there and they're flapping the, you know, they're making that, when you get near them, that, you know, that to me is just so awesome, seeing the size of that creature. So I love big animal. So to me, most of my cool dives are big animal. But then after that, it's more just the dives with the family, you know, taking my 10-year-old and 12-year-old son and being in Roatan with my favorite shop down there, Reef Gliders, and being with those guys and having my children there and being with my nieces and nephews, now they're all 27, 25, but every one of my nieces and nephews have been certified by me and Andrew at Lake Norman Scuba. And
wow.
I my 50th birthday, I went to Fiji with my friends and Andrew and a bunch of us, and we all went diving down in Fiji. And, you know, so to me, it's the family dives that mean the most, or the big animal dives are the ones I love, and the orcas at the top.
That's awesome that all your nieces and nephews and stuff dive like that. So do your the rest of the family want to kill you a lot for taking them diving in certain spots?
So no, what's funny is my dad dove growing up. Yeah. So when I was little, we had a boat in the 70s when I was little, and my dad took me down on a hookah line. I kind of remember, you know, but like, you know, just underwater to see and breathe. But my dad hates my tech stuff. Absolutely despises my tech stuff. He didn't even want to know about it. My mother doesn't want to know about it. My two big brothers, when I take their baby girls and their sons, I have one nephew that is a type 1 diabetic, had it from birth. Yeah. And so I waited for him. I waited till he was about 16 where he could learn, where he was in better control of his blood sugar. But even my type 1 diabetic nephew now is a great diver and goes diving with me. So my brothers now have come to accept that I'm that bad meme, the uncle, you know, I'm the uncle that basically is really going to piss you off. But I love,
but the kids are gonna love
my own. Yeah. And I love these children like they're my own. Like they are, I am the guy that, like, I didn't have children until later. So my nieces and nephews were in my 20s, and like I was racing, and I would do, yeah, I would take them anywhere, anytime, any place. They'd come to me. I take them when they were babies, and just, I loved kids so much. And my nieces and nephews were mine. So now my oldest is 27, and I say mine, she's my niece, but, and she's still my baby girl. I wanted her to go to a convent. Unfortunately, she's not going to be a nun. And she, you know, she goes diving with me all over the world. She's been with all sorts of situations, and her mommy and daddy, my brother and my sister-in-law, they're not happy what I've done with their baby girls. I'm not going to say they are happy, but my youngest niece, the youngest niece, not my youngest of the olders, she's the only one that went night diving with us. I was in Socorro with all of them, and there's 13, 15 silky and Galapagos sharks circling the back of the boat and the lights. And me and Andrew go, hey, we're going to go for a night dive. Anybody want to go? And all the adults immediately grab a beer and are like, oh, I started drinking. I can't dive. And the young ones, which don't have that excuse, they're like, I'm tired. And Gwenny, my youngest one, Gwenny, at the time she was 13. And my youngest niece looks and goes, I'll go, Uncle Bren. And we all, me and Andrew look and go, okay. So we jumped in the tender and we went around, you know, away from where all the sharks were behind us. We dropped in. My 13-year-old niece, it was so cute, Curtis, she was locked onto my arm as we're as we're going around. And then I'd have the light and I'd point something. And then I'd go, come here. And I'd bring her with me. And then I'd go to do something and she'd go to Andrew and she'd grab onto Andrew's arm and she's holding Andrew, you know, they're going around and we did a lights out deal with her and let her see the string of pearls and all the, you know, all the cool things that you see underwater at night that people don't realize you can see, you know, and she got done and she went back to her brother and she went back to her cousins, the two older, and she's like, I went to a night dive, you didn't. And when I told my brother John and his and my sister-in-law Barbara that their baby girl went, that we left the 15 sharks circling the boat to go over here to go dive, my brother John, I thought if I was in the room with him, he would have stabbed me with any object that was blunt or sharp. It wouldn't matter. He would have taken me out. My youngest niece is, she's a cowgirl, man. She's tough. And she, to this day, she's the only one that night dived with us. The rest of them wouldn't do it. My Gwenny, she's been there.
That's awesome. I mean, I would be the same type of thing if I had grandchildren or nieces and nephews. I would be my nephew who lives in Nova Scotia, he's actually been taking an interest in diving and sea life stuff and everything. And I said, well, I'm going to get my instructors again. So, you know, and I warned my sister-in-law, I said, you're going to hate me later. I said, you think you don't like me now? I said, you just wait till he gets older.
Just wait.
Because I'm going to be the uncle he loves and the one you hate more than you do now.
When my first one, when Emily, who's the oldest, turned 12, I was racing cars. I mean, I was still racing. And she, you know, she came to North Carolina, stayed with me for a week, went to the race shop, went to the dive shop. We taught her how to dive. We got her certified. She came to Bristol with me to come to watch Bristol the race. My brother showed up and they went to the race. They took their baby girl home. And then 2 months later, we're in Roatan diving, you know, and hanging out. And then, you know, then 2 years later, the next one turned 12, came, went to Road America with me, and did the same thing. And then I took her to Roatan. And then the next one came. And then I took them all to Socorro. And I didn't quite tell my brothers, I may have lied slightly about how difficult it is to get to Socorro. I may have told them it's just an island off of southwest of Cabo, off of Mexico, just a you know, little bit out there. And did not really tell them that it's a 24-hour boat trip out there to the middle of nowhere where you're so far south that some satellites that we have in the Northern Hemisphere don't even reach. You know, so when they found out where we went, they were another time that they really weren't very happy with their little brother.
Yeah. Yeah, but then the really funny part is you got your niece who's all pumped up from just been on this dive trip. So, I mean, what the hell are they going to do at that point, right?
No, I think – well, and the best is all my nieces, every time they get their boyfriends, they're like, Uncle Brenny, you need to teach him how to dive because they want to go dive. They want to go dive somewhere, and they're like, well, he doesn't know how to – Uncle Brenny, we need to go back to Andrew and Danielle and go dive. I'm like, okay, let's go. So they bring them. We'll teach them how to dive. That's my deal. We go back to North Carolina. We spend a couple days. We go see Andrew and Danielle. We stay at the house and we go dive.
So how many dives do you have total about?
Logged, you know, because I was going like you for instructors, that sort of stuff. I had to log. I've logged over 800. I have and you got to remember, logging a dive was in the quarry doing 3 to 4 classes. That every time you do a 20-minute dive, that's, you know, so real like ocean, real world, I probably got about 750, 1,000 dives, maybe a little more than 1,000 dives in the wild, because we used to go to Socorro all the time on the family's boat, my friend's boat, and me and Andrew do 50, 60 dives in 4 or 5 days, and we've done that a dozen times or so. And then, you know, we go to places, and we go to, you know, of course, go down to Caymans, where it's shore diving right off of Sunset House. You know, you just jump in the water with tanks. You know, we'll dive 7, 8 times a day there. So, you know, anytime I go on a trip, when I go on a dive trip, I go to dive. We're not there we're going to dive. You're going with me, we're diving.
I'd love to do a dive trip with you sometime, man.
Come on, let's go. I'd love it. I got lucky. Right before they closed Guadalupe, I got to go to one of their last shark dive trips that they did right before they closed Guadalupe Island. So I've been to the Great White Cages and did that in Guadalupe too. Those don't count as dives, but, you know, I got lucky and got to do that right before they shut down the island. So I'm blessed, man. I'm a lucky, lucky man. I love my life. I love what I've been able to do. I love traveling with family, and I would be honored to go dive with the old Deadfoot Diver, and we could go on a trip somewhere. I'd be happy to find you.
That'd be awesome. I would love to do that, man. That would be super cool. So, and plus, then I could hear more about your NASCAR racing days and stuff too. So you actually still race? Okay. You still race though, right? Like you were just racing a couple of 2 weeks ago, right?
So
what do you race now mostly?
It's called the Score Desert Baja, like the Baja 1000. I grew up doing those. My father grew up doing those. That's how I got into racing, was desert racing. So I still do all the Baja races. I just do the 4 Baja races a year, and I don't race the desert stuff in America. My young son, who's now 12, he races cars. He raced in the Baja 500 with me 2 years ago as an 11-year-old.
Really?
He did the last 80 miles of the Baja 500 with me in the passenger seat. So I still race down there, love my desert race. And that to me is the other thing I really am passionate about. I love off-road racing. It's such a wild adventure every time, pre-running and the racing and the whole deal is so much fun. And that's what I grew up doing. But yeah, the NASCAR stuff, I mean, it was a great life. I had an amazing time. You know, I got to drive for Roger Penske, Richard Childress, Rusty Wallace. Some days I forget how great I had it. You know, my sons don't know all that because I had them a little later in life, and they'll be saying something and they'll see a picture and they'll go, "When was that, Daddy?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, I forgot I drove for them. Yeah, that was, you know," and you know, we were somewhere one day and a guy came up who used to work for Kodak and was like, "Oh, dude, you were my favorite Kodak driver." I said, "I was there 1 year and I sucked." You know, and he's like, "No, you were the best, you were this and that." And my son's like, "Kodak?" And I'm like, "Yeah, there's some boxes hidden somewhere, maybe that I can find just some old Kodak stuff." You know, I mean, driving for Napa, Kodak, you know, I was one of 5-Hour Energy's first drivers they ever sponsored in 2009, you know, before the
I remember that.
So many things. It you really have to keep perspective and remember that I'm very, very lucky and very blessed. And I really appreciate what I've been able to do in life.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I would love to go. I mean, I would kill to go for riding a desert truck with you, because I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Listen, we can get you in. We can absolutely get you in. I mean, I used to help Evan, Walker Evans' son is a paraplegic, weighs down, who races. And, you know, I've been putting Evan in his race car for, you know, when nobody else was around. So, I mean, we can get you in. Don't you worry. We'll get you buckled down, get you strapped down, and we'll let you go, man. We'll have some fun.
I would love to do that, man. That would be amazing. It's always been a dream of mine, actually, to go do it riding a desert truck.
It's the most fun you could ever have. Scuba diving and desert racing, totally. One has adrenaline and one is wild and frightening, and the other one is very peaceful and calm, even though people think it's wild and frightening. No, one what they think isn't it, and one what they think isn't.
It's funny though, because diving, like, since I've done both as far as like motocross and stuff like that goes, I mean, they're both are an adrenaline rush. It's just the diving, it's still I get an adrenaline rush out of it, but it's a calm adrenaline rush, like you said.
It's that peace. It's the most extreme, peaceful, extreme sport you can ever be a part of. And now the great race car drivers, the ones that can do it forever, take that extreme environment of the racing and learn how to make it be peaceful in that car. So it actually has a lot of the same deals where both of them, you know, when you mess up in either one, it's going to hurt. It's going to leave a mark. Oh. You know, so you don't want to mess up either one. But if I got to choose one to mess up, I'll choose the race car, because the mess up in diving probably going to be worse. So,
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty busted up and got lots of metal in me, but yeah.
But you got a metal in you, and you're still here.
You know, it's funny, because when I first started diving again, when I got out of diving, I was just getting into doing technical diving back then, and it was like there wasn't formalized tech training unless you went down to see like Sheck Exley or something like that.
Oh, and you were doing stuff where science hadn't caught up yet. I mean, you were a test dummy. If you were doing it in the 90s, you were the test dummy to see how bad it hurt when you came back up.
Exactly. Like, and so, I mean, we would do what we did, some dives on a wreck up here called the Arabia at Tobermory, which is my favorite wreck. It's like, it's only in 100 feet of water. They have a lot of fatalities on it, but it's a relatively intact schooner. And we used to do a couple of times we did where we had like hour and a half decompression, 2.5 hour decompression on it, just for the heck of it to do it. Right. And so I got back into diving, and after about 5 dives, I said to the one guy who was diving with, I said, "Hey, you know, I think I might want to do some tech diving again." And he's like, "Are you freaking nuts? Like, you just started doing this again." I said, I said, "I'm going to end up doing some tech diving." And I've done the side mount stuff. I do plan on doing more deeper advanced stuff, because there's some wrecks up here in like 170 I want to do.
Yep.
About. I've also learned at my age and with my disabilities and stuff like that, I'm a lot more cautious.
Good move. Very good move. You said it right. You don't need to go to 390 to tech dive. You can do a great 170, find a great boat. It's going to have a bunch of great grouper on it. It's probably going to have a couple shark, maybe some sand tiger running around it.
Down there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a little colder up there. But, you know, you're still going to see, and if it's colder, the wreck's going to be more intact. But you can do 170, do some side mount, sling a couple, you know, stage bottles. You're not doing 200 pounds of gear on you. You're not doing all those things. You can still control it well and still have a great time. Do a slight where you don't have, like I said, you don't have to go to 300-400 to be, you know, an idiot to go be a tech diver. You can do things in that next medium range and have a great time without having a million things on you. And you can do it. It drives me nuts when people think they can't do certain things. It's like, no, I got a paraplegic that drives a race car. That's one of my best friends. I got guys that dive that are, you know, you can dive, you can do things. You know, I got a ton of military buddies that are prosthetic arms, prosthetic legs, you know, and it's like, yeah. And they're the first ones that are like, what do you mean you can't do it? Who says
I first got hurt, when I did this injury with my left leg, where I have no feeling below the left knee, I actually, the first thing I did it motocross racing. And I was literally, before they had even got the surgery into me to get me healed up, because they had to wait a couple of days for this surgery to come back. So because I was busted up so bad, I was literally sitting in my hospital room, sitting there looking and trying to figure out how I was going to modify my bike so I could get back on my bike again. I was sitting in the hospital, and then next thing I found out was, oh yeah, well, you can actually race against all the guys that race in the X Games. they had a race in Michigan called the Extremity Games. And I'm like, I'm going to freaking do this. I mean,
I get it.
It's right with these guys, man. I know I'm suck. I know I'm not going to even come close to winning, right? But I can see I've been on the track with Doug Henry, Mike Schultz, all those guys.
No, that's the attitude. You know, I mean, look, life isn't perfect ever, you know, and whatever it throws at you, you got to keep moving. And that I think is a great testament to what diving can do to people and how happy it can make people again. I got a bunch of military guys that they do diving as therapy, you know, because it is that great for the brain. It is that great. You know, it does do so many amazing things. And my kids, you know, look, I got 12 and 14 year old. All these kids are addicted to these things nowadays. You and I both know it. I mean, we're all, you know, you look around and kids are, you know, this all day. And it's like, oh, what I love about the diving part is it's like, hey, we're going diving. Phones are down. You know, we go out, you do the dives. There's no, you know, I love my diving. I'll talk about diving. I know you want to talk a little about racing and NASCAR and stuff like that, but it's like, man, I love talking about diving. Let's talk about diving, man. It's more fun.
Yeah, no, it's awesome, man. So, well, thank you, Brandon. I really appreciate you for coming on today. It has been amazing talking to you. It has been, honestly, I have been a huge fan of yours since you were racing NASCAR and stuff. So it is a huge honor for me to have you on here and to know that you're a diver I thought was even cooler. And now, man, I think you're even more badass after hearing all the stuff that you do diving. So
that's amazing. I appreciate it. And look, I'm just a, you know, hashtag scuba driver. That's what I would call myself near the end. I love doing it. I was able to combine a bunch of passions and I've made some of my best friends in life diving. I go places with my family and you know, if I can leave your people with anything is that, you know, if you're afraid of diving, go find a nice local dive shop. You know, I promise you, you're going to find a local dive shop somewhere that's got a great family, you know, husband, wife that own it, got their kids there running around, you know, and what you think of diving, if you're the ones that are afraid of it, just let me get you in a pool and teach you how easy this is and it will change your life for the better. And whether you have a disability, whether you don't have a disability, whether you think you have a disability, I promise you scuba diving is an amazing, amazing thing that you can do as a great family thing, a great social thing. And it will change your life. It did mine.
Absolutely. So thank you again, Brandon, for coming on. And remember everybody, take care. Have a great day. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe on the Deadfoot Diver and grab an adventure and live. See you next time.